Welcome to Words of Light for Today, a teaching ministry that shares godly principles while giving spiritual insight and divine revelation from the Word of God for the everydayness life brings. Be richly blessed as we join Linda Atkins.
Let's go to Exodus. Chapter 4. A lot of things happen in Exodus. And it's a very interesting book. So you ought to read it. There's a vast amount of time that passes between Genesis and Exodus. So you need to know that. At least over 400 or 500 years passes between Genesis and Exodus. So, in that amount of time, a lot of things can happen, can't it? Amen. Sure can. Okay, so let's go to verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I am not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. In other words, he stuttered. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, or hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is if not I the Lord? Is it not I the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. I've had him get, I don't know that he was angry, but he was perturbed. He was perturbed because I kept praying about a particular thing. And he told me in the last prayer that I prayed about that, he said, leave me alone. That is none of your business. Leave me alone, he said. So he can, this is proof here, and I can prove to you in other places, and where there's two or three witnesses of a thing in the scripture, it becomes legal truth. So he can get perturbed with you. He can get angry with you because either you're saying the wrong thing or you're praying the wrong thing or you're trying to do something that he hadn't told you to do. So he said, but again Moses pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said. How about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Even though he was mad at him, he was trying to help him take hold of what he was telling him. And where he was going to bring him, he had already told him, he said, you're going to take water out of the Nile and pour it on the ground. It's going to turn to blood. So he had already given him several of the miraculous signs that he was going to do in Egypt. But he didn't want any part of having to talk. And his reasoning was because he was highly educated. He was as educated as you could be in that time frame. He was educated in the highest courts of Egypt. He knew everything that they knew. Everything that they knew about anything, And they knew a lot. You could look around at what they had done, and they knew quite a bit. But he had been out in a desert for 40 years, and he hadn't talked to too many people except sheep and some women, and that was about it. So his conversation level was almost zilt. And you can get used to not talking, and then you won't. And you see, that's what cell phones are doing to us. We don't talk to people anymore. We just text them real quick. And then we try to read into something what their text meant. Well, they must be mad. If everything's in all capital letters, they're mad. Well, sometimes my little capital thing just gets hung up, and I'm not mad at all. But then, you see, if you talked to me on the phone, you'd know the inflection in my voice. You could tell whether it was going up to bless you or going down to be annoyed. Can't you tell in somebody's voice if they're annoyed? So, anyway, he said, I'm going to put the words in his mouth, and Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. And he will be your mouthpiece, and you, oh my goodness, and you shall be as God to him. Now, I got to thinking about this when I was reading this, and when you look at this as God's promise to Moses, he was putting Moses into such a high character to be to Aaron as God. I'm going to tell you what to say, and you're going to tell him what to say. And I'm going to let him know in his spirit that he's to say exactly what you tell him to say. And so then you're going to become as God to him. And you know, that's what he's saying to us today. He is sending us out in a place that we could be God to people. Not that we are God, not that Moses was God, but he would be to Aaron as God. And we can be to every single person we meet as God, with the love of God and the kindness of God in our lives. If he is the fountain of life to us, and his unfailing love is vast, then I want you to know that what he's telling us here, what he's showing us here, is exactly what Paul found out was the high calling of God. I press towards the prize of the high calling of God. And that is to be as God to everybody we meet. And sometimes the God in us is all they ever see, is all they ever know or take hold of. Now, if this is a job that he's given to us, then there's dignity and glory in this. And it should show forth in us, not in a pompous way or a braggadocious way, I'm as God to you. Those words should never come out your mouth. They came out of God's mouth, but they never came out of Moses' mouth. Moses, in all of his writings, never said that to anybody. But he was called to be that. Now, this is a place when you come before the Lord, and true salvation and true infilling of the Holy Spirit has come for you. Then every time you meet someone, every time you deal with someone, you can deal with them as God. And how would he deal with them? Not in anger. Not in anger. But in kindness and in goodness. Peacefully. There's an answer to every single problem that comes up. Even problems that you're called on to solve that someone else created. Either with their lack of understanding, not just not knowing how, and there's a big old mess, and you have to straighten it out. But even in that, the Scriptures has told us, do not grumble. And grumbling is not like complaining. Grumbling is under your breath. And you're just fussing. And you're fussing in your head. And a little bit of it is coming out your mouth. And you're just mumbling. Because you're having to straighten up something that somebody else did. And the first thing you want to do is say, why did you do such a stupid thing? But do you know there's some things that God does not say to us? He never calls anybody stupid. When he called Moses, he never mentioned the fact that he had killed the Egyptian. And he did. And he saw him killing. But God never brought it up. Well, was it all right for him to kill him? Well, as far as Moses was concerned, he got justice for his brother that they were beaten half to death. But God never brought that up to Moses, never said a word to him about it. Now I'm telling you, when he has called us with the calling, you go back to Romans where we started in chapter 8 and you begin to see that he has called us. And whom he has called, he has justified. And whom he has justified, he has glorified. And then we come to a place where we realized that there was one thing that needed to fit in there, and that was sanctification. And when he gets through sanctifying us and bringing us to a place where we're willing to listen to him and let him speak and be the fountain of life that flows out of us, then everybody that we come in contact with or have any dealings with is going to see God. Now, this is a calling of extreme high character. You cannot be on and off and be as God to somebody. You cannot be up today and down tomorrow and mad today and aggravated today and then be all, okay, you slept on it, so, you know, things are better today. This is a high calling and the purpose of God for us to live blameless before men and holy before him. And if we are holy before him, then he's going to cause our deep character of goodness. Paul said to those people that he was writing to, and then to us, he said, I know that you are filled with the goodness of God. Well, if we are, then people are going to see it. People, you see, if people see us as God, then we're going to have an answer to their problem. Amen. We're going to take the time to help them. Maybe they have done something that's stupid. But if you'll turn around and reach as God would do and help them straighten up the mess and help them turn the thing around, they'll see that God-likeness in you. And be grateful for it. And it will bring them, if they're not saved, it will bring them to a desire for the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Because people don't know what kindness looks like. They know what nice looks like. And he's a pretty nice fella. But you see, nice will only be nice until you cross it. He's expecting us to come forth with the character that we can be as God to someone. Regardless of the situation, regardless of what they've done, and what people do can be very aggravating. It can be very disturbing. It can be very wrong. But if we show forth this unfailing love of Christ, they're going to see that God, that fountain of life, is flowing from you. Because only the fountain of life can flow up in you and give you that peace that any other time would cause you to just go at them and just choke them to death because of what they've done. You ever had anybody you wanted to choke? But I'm telling you, this is the prize that we're wanting for His life and His love and His goodness and His kindness and His representative. We are to be that holy representative, blameless to other people, because they see us as God. Moses was always that way for Aaron. Even when Aaron did wrong, when Moses was called up into the mountain and he stayed gone for 40 days, Moses built the golden calf. He came underneath the pressure of the people. And he said, all I did was put the coal in the fire and out popped this calf. And that's not what happened. Not only did he do it, but he lied about it. There ain't no way no calf just popped up out of there because you poured coal in. The scripture says he fashioned it. So in other words, he took the melted coal and he formed it. He formed it into that calf. So when we get caught doing something, we'll lie about it. But you know what? He took that. He was so hurt and so broken that he took those tablets and slammed them down on the ground. But you know, there was a dividing there. Those of them that would cause such a scene and was wretched and mean, some of those so-called priests that had come out of Egypt with them. And they, you know, they kept things stirred up. The ground opened up and swallowed them in. Then Moses had to go back up on the mountain. He told the Lord, he said, I broke those tablets. They're broke. They got broke. He said, no, you broke them. You broke them. Now you bring me two more tablets up here to replace the ones you broke. You see, he keeps trying to teach us and bring us to this high calling. He keeps trying to teach us, what good is a blessing out going to do anybody? Because we don't correct people just a little bit. If we're not careful, we go beyond helping somebody see what they did. Even your children. You've got to come to a place where you can handle it day in and day out. Look what God handles. Look at the stuff that He's seen you do. Look at the messes that you got yourself in, and He has, through His love, His unfailing love, has brought you to His fountain of life. Oh, my God. Look at how he has smoothed over your mistakes with His blood and His kindness, forgiving you and casting it far away from you so He never mentions it again. Now, you know, we tell our kids, you did the same thing yesterday. And, you know, if God could rack up the things that we do over and over and come up front and get prayer for it. And we go back and in 2 days or 3 days, we do it again. But you see, what he's trying to do is bring us to a place where not only men can trust us, but God trusts us.
Amen.
And if God trusts us, he puts that spirit in you so that men will trust you. People will trust you, and they will see such a difference because he's been supplying everything that we need. He supplies the kindness. You don't have to come up with it. He supplies the unfailing love. You don't have to do it. He gives us the grace. There is no grace outside of what he gives. And his mercies, they're new every day. Every morning that you open your eyes, there's new mercy, new grace given. Well, they're going to do the same thing again today. Well, suppose they do. And you're as God to them. And you know what? They're going to see it, and eventually they will get it because you are. And look how many times you started over with him. Look how many times you've asked him to forgive you. Look how many times that you said, oh my God, please forgive me. But see, what he wants our lives to do is he wants to so live in us that we represent the master to everybody that we meet. Now listen, you said this was going to change my life. Well, it should. It should change your personality. It should change your conduct. It should change the way you talk to people.
Hallelujah.
We represent him here. Listen, while he's representing us before God's throne. And he's ever praying before the Father, making intercession for us. What does his intercession sound like? Please don't hold that against them. I just know they're going to get it. I'm going to give more grace to them because they keep coming back and keep repenting and they keep saying, Lord, forgive me. And so, Father, I am going to forgive them. And I'm praying that your anointing will fall on them and they will see it and they will get it. And we are the master to people here while he is our God before the throne of God. Now, you know, every single day, listen to me now, every single day you make a choice whether to be spiritual or earthly. Earthly is the natural concept of everything, but every day you make a choice to either be spiritual, to handle things in the spirit. And what does that mean? Speaking in tongues to everybody? No, it has nothing to do with tongues, but it has everything to do with that divine nature.
Amen.
How can you represent God to somebody when you let them make you so mad that you've got them around the throat, shaking the snot out of them and telling them how stupid they are? What part of God is that? When chances are no one ever did you that way. Mm-mm-mm. Now listen to me. As we choose spiritual or earthly, unconsciously we're taking our place. We're taking our place on one side or the other. Now, we're either going to choose him and his work in us, or we're going to choose the world. And it's not just what we say, because we can all say, I choose the Lord, and we can say it with tears. I choose God, I choose his way. But you see, deep down in us, there is a preference. And God does not listen to our words until he looks at our preference. We can say one thing and prefer something else. Mm-hmm. I can give you some scripture on that. In 1 Chronicles, or 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, right in there and on down 10, 11, 12, you can see where Solomon was asking the Lord for wisdom. Now, his words sounded good. His words sounded really good. But it wasn't his words that God looked at. You know what he said when he finally spoke to him? He said, I see in your heart that you truly desire these things. So he sees in here our preference. He sees in here the choices that we're making. He sees in here how we're going to respond to other people. And I tell you, today, our response to people, whether it's family or whether it's total strangers, should be changed today.
Amen.
It should be changed. If this is what he wants out of us, then he must be going to do everything that is possible to do for us, to make us as God to others. Not God. I'm not saying that we're God, but I'm saying as God. Now listen, here's my last statement. The choice that you make, you better listen to this. The choice that you make today is going to settle your destiny. Now, with the choice, you can drive out being aggravated, being perturbed, being just, you know, I've taken all I can take. All of that can be replaced by the divine grace of God. But God is clearly saying here, I want you to be God. Well, have you got another scripture for that? Yes, I do. Chapter 7, verse 1, just listen. Then the Lord said to Moses, and this is what I say to you a lot, and I got it from this little Bible. Pay attention. Then the Lord said to Moses, pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh.
You have been watching Words of Light for Today with Linda Adkins. For prayer or a free CD of today's message, please call 904-289-9727. Visit our website at wordsoflight.org, where you may order explosive and anointed teaching messages or other great resources from our bookstore. Be blessed and join Linda Adkins next time as she brings Words of Light for Today.